Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, we have a special guest. We have Chris Davis. Chris is an electrical engineer turned entrepreneur. He specializes in marketing automation. And Chris has raised over $120 million in funding during his career. Now a sought-after international speaker, workshop facilitator, and automated marketing mentor, Chris is the founder of Automation Bridge, where he helps small businesses learn to automate their own systems. All right, Chris, why don't you give us the background? How'd you become the automation expert, and how'd you start Automation Bridge?
All right, so I'm shared, I'm good. Now I am all focused on you. So it's amazing because it was not something that I anticipated. So going forward, it didn't make sense, but looking back, it made perfect sense. You know, so I'm actually an artist. A lot of people don't know that about me. I'm an artist at heart. So that was my first love. And I thought I was going to school to become an artist. And my dad said, hey, you're really good at math. You don't want to be a starving artist. Go to college and do something with your numbers. So I became an engineer. And after I graduated as an electrical engineer, I worked in the corporate world for Lockheed Martin for 7 years, programming microprocessors. After that ended, I used web development to transition into entrepreneurship, which opened up the door to learning that websites that didn't make money were just like brochures. So what made a website functional different? What's the difference between a brochure website and a functional website? Mm-hmm. And I learned it was the back-end automation. So I just dove in deep, naturally took to it. And it wasn't until I was at Lead Pages and a buddy asked me, said, Chris, who are you? Like, how did you get here? You're this engineer with an MBA, but you're good at marketing, great on camera. Like, what? How? I don't get it. He couldn't see the connection. And I said, well, and he said, what did you do at Lockheed Martin? And I told him, I said, well, I programmed microprocessors for our nation's defense technology. He's like, what was it called? I said, oh, these little microchips were called autopilots. Oh, they were called autopilots. But the second I said auto, I was like, oh, it does make sense. I've actually been in automation this entire time, just in different fields, right? Different sectors. So
since most of us listening to this, me included, don't have that kind of skill set or background, what should we do, right? Because I think this is definitely a buzzword to automate your business, automate your website. Yeah. And people are like, yeah, I want to do that. But since we're not engineers, since we haven't had that background, where do we get started? How do we get started with that?
Yeah, it can be very overwhelming. So let me just take people off the hook. A lot of people beat themselves up. They try to rush into it. And the first thing they think about is technology and signing up for free tools and everything. And automation, and a lot of people think it's robots and droids. And they're nervous if they're a small business owner, like, oh, I've got to be authentic in my business. Droids can't run my business. It's got to have the personal touch. So I always tell people that automation is just an extension of you, right? Automation magnifies who you are. So if you're great, automation will make you greater. If you're late, automation will make you later. So wherever you are, positive or negative, automation is going to amplify it because it allows you to just put what you're doing in front of more people. So I often tell people like yourself, really, Josh, is that you're actually closer and better for getting started at automation than most technical folks. Because if you're a techie like me, an engineer, the first thing that I did was dive into the technology. I was like, there's so many tools. Oh, you know, and I'm just tech heavy. I'm just deep in it. And I didn't understand marketing. I didn't understand business models. I didn't understand the value of process. And you do that enough to where you're on calls and you're telling people, yeah, we could use this and PHP that, and then webhook this. And then this platform will send it over here through the API. And they're just glazed eyed. Like, what did you, and you're like, all right, $2,000. You ready? They're like, I'll think about it. Right. I started to learn like that technical acumen in that speech. You reserve that. Do not bring that to the close. Do not bring that to the CEO. They need to understand what needs to be done. How is it going to generate me money? So with a lot of people who don't understand automation, where they get started, I tell them, do not start with the tech. Get that out of your mind, throw it in the back burner somewhere. We'll get to it, but it's all about the process. Sit down, let's talk through your process. I've got six systems, six steps that I walk people through, and I just ask them the questions and they're just answering them. And before you know it, I've got their entire business processes mapped out and we're ready. We're now prepared to get started with automation.
So what are, maybe you don't have time for all six of them, but what would be some of the core processes that every company should at least explore in terms of automation?
Yeah, absolutely. I could go through them fairly quickly. And this is specific to digitizing your processes, right? So taking a traditional process or a non-existing process and placing it online to leverage the internet for rapid growth. So the first question is, where do you meet question marks? Where do you meet new eyeballs, right? So once you meet those new eyeballs, where do you send them for those eyeballs to become leads? Mm-hmm. Somebody becomes a lead by giving you information. So where does that transaction take place? Out of all of the people that have come and given you information, have become leads, how do you follow up with them? Okay. And if you're following up with them, where are you taking them to? Right? What is the next step? And I often refer to that as the sales event. Okay. And that's where you make your offer. So my follow-up question to that is, how do you make your offer? So out of all of the people that you've attracted, that you've captured information, followed up with, and sent to an offer, how many of them decided to say, I want that product? And out of all of them that decided to say, I want that product, how are you delivering it to them with immediacy? Just answering those questions, Josh, it's amazing how much information you can extract and how many holes you can point out. Say, is this how you're doing it? Because the follow-up question after all of that is going back through and assessing the technology that you're using for every step.
Okay. And you and I talked a little bit about this beforehand, because I think it'd be fun to talk about this with a real example. So let's just say an example that anyone can think of. Let's just say a painting company, right? So let's just say they have 30 employees. It's all... handshake deals and cash and checks. And they're trying to grow. They want to open up into other cities and territories. Where do they even, or how does it look?
Yeah. I have to tell them, if it's a painter company, they're probably, I looked at one of your podcast episodes and it was no longer is it acceptable to run your business through a spreadsheet. Huh? I saw that. So I was like, hey, I fully agree. The first step is you're going to need a CRM, a customer relationship management system. There is no way that you're going to be able to serve these people at the level that matches your painting acumen and expertise without understanding who's who. You'll be able to tell who's in what demographic, right? What services are being required. You'll start seeing trends. Hey, out west, there's a lot of people asking to paint their basements, right? Hey, out east, it's always outside. They always want me to paint outside. So now you can at least, just by putting your data, Josh, we haven't changed anything. You're still handshaking. You're still exchanging cash, right? You're still very manual and traditional. But just having that CRM will help you start to see trends and patterns where you could at least be more efficient and effective at who you say yes to and when, right? So now if we get into the process, if you're a painter, you're local. So the world is, Google AdWords is at your disposal, right? If you could just simple optimization for a local search and have a page, just a simple landing page where people can ring your phone. I would love to say, capture their email, send out a da da da. Just let them ring your phone. You'd be amazed at how many local based businesses want their phone to ring. So that is literally those are the two steps that I would say start with. And before you finish executing the second step, you'll probably have more business than you can handle. Now we're talking about systemizing and really making sure all of those subsystems and systems are firing so that you can handle the growth.
Yeah, that was kind of led into my next thought is I've got to believe that once you fix one little system, it probably brings up so much business for them that they can't even handle doing all, nor do they have to do all of them at once. Yeah. How long does it take to, and most people like me, they want the whole thing done, but how long does it take to get all of those things done? And I mean, should it be spaced out over years so that it actually works?
Yeah. Oh man, I love this question, Josh, because I have to tame expectations. So the marketers that I mentor, I say, hey, listen, be realistic. You can be great. You can be amazing. You can be found online, but the biggest thing is to be realistic and set those realistic expectations. And the reality is it varies, but it varies by this, right? If you know your processes, if you're, and by knowing, all automation starts analog, right? You have to be doing something to know what to automate. So you don't come to me saying, hey, I have this new business idea. Let's automate everything. No, nope. Time out. Not your guy. Go find the next dummy, right? Because automation requires information, right? That information comes from our activities, our day-to-day activities that help our business run. And when they start to get repetitive, yet profitable or necessary, then it's like, ding, 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 automate, automate. Like all of these signs are pointing to it, right? So when you have your processes defined, your time of execution is going to be a lot shorter. So what I tell everybody is reserve at least 30 to 60 days for planning. You have to count the costs and understand what's ahead of you. Okay, we've got this data coming in here. This data is coming in here. Well, wait a minute. If they come into this spot and not this spot, the data is not matched. So maybe we need to streamline our data collection, understand at which points we're collecting what, you know, you're really just streamlining. It's almost like the bill of goods for a carpenter. It's like, okay, we're going to build a house. Let me go get the wood. Let me go get this. Let me get that. That's where we're at. We're at planning. You have to commit to planning. What I teach is that you don't have to, just because you're waiting to execute during the planning phase doesn't mean you can't be profitable. So what I do is I like to appeal to the CEO. The CEO wants money. They want that immediate impact. So if they hire an automation specialist to come in, or they're entrusting me with their marketer, and I can get them a quick win within the first 2 weeks, like, hey, we sent this email and we made $10,000. They're locked into the planning process now. They're like, wait a minute, more of that to come if we just plan for another month? And it's like, yes. So that's kind of like my secret sauce there is get results while you're planning. And if you can identify quickly from the process extraction where that big result can come from, that'll buy you the time to plan. So now that you're planning, the rest is execution. Now, this is where it gets tricky, Josh, because depending on your business and your team. So if the team can't use the technology, you can't use the technology, right? So as a consultant and an expert at technology, if I say, hey, use Infusionsoft. It's a great CRM. It's got all kind of automation, and it confuses everybody on the team. Well, that's not the right tool for them. And then I say, well, how about we start with MailChimp, where we're just sending some basic emails? They're like, I love this monkey. This is amazing. We're getting great results. I cringe, but it's like, I can't prescribe technology higher than the collective acumen to execute it. I can only recommend that maybe we get somebody else in here that has a higher acumen so we can really use the tools that are necessary. So those are the factors you get, you know, so depending on how all of those factors align. But I like to tell people 90 days for some good results, all the way up to a year. It can take all the way up to a year, but it's fun along the way, you know, with the right person, because you're getting results, you're testing stuff, you're seeing new opportunities.
When someone is making a decision to automate, it sounds like they definitely have to be forward thinking. Like they have to be thinking like
absolutely
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in advance. And do their ambitions need to be more than like, hey, I want to have 3% growth? Or is it more like this person who says, I want to double, triple, quadruple the size of my business, and this is why I'm doing it? Like, is that part of the discussion with the CEO?
Yeah, I like that. Because the bigger the vision cast, the quicker we can get there. So me personally, and you know this, Josh, when you implement systems, it's linear for a minute. And then at some point it goes exponential, that hockey stick. Mm-hmm. And we never know where that point is. So that's the exciting part with every new business. It's just like, hey, look, keep doing the right thing over time and something's going to happen. You know, it's not magic. We're calculating it because we're measuring. But yeah, if you're implementing systems and you can't get at least double the growth or double the revenue, then I'd have to question the system. You know, I like, this is aggressive. Let me put my asterisks here. Other marketers, I do not recommend making this promise, but I've been able to do this consistently. I shoot for 10X within 12 months. You know, especially if I'm hands-on with the business, like consulting, there's no reason. I've not ever built a system that didn't 10X. Like, it just hasn't happened. Very meticulous, very calculated process. Boring at times. It's like, oh, more data, Chris, you know, but it works, you know.
To get to that, though, there's a certain amount of advertising spend, right? I mean, that's part of where you start is, hey, if we're going to collect 10 leads a day, let's collect 100 leads a day. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it, right?
Yeah, sometimes. You know what? It's funny, Josh, because some businesses, I look at it as, you know, you get a customer, it's like a fruit, right? Yeah. And if you've ever had a fruit and you're biting it, you're like, man, this fruit is good. But if you put that fruit in a juicer, you're like, all of that was in there? Like, all of that water, all of that juice. So a lot of people don't squeeze enough juice out of the fruit. They just get the orange, take a slice. I'm like, that was a good orange. Next, you know, take a bite of the apple. And I'm like, no. Let's get that big old bucket of apples you have back there and let's make apple juice. Uh-huh. And let's sell it to the people who are apples because they love apple juice, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times businesses don't have a recurring model and they don't capitalize on the customers who have already transacted, right? So a system for just existing customers to transact again can get you a 2 to 3X, you know, 2 to 3X increase, right? And now we have that system, same lead gen, Josh, same lead gen. Now that's more profitable, right? So by the time I push the advertising button, now everything is just, you know, rising like that. So yeah, it could involve ad spend, but a lot of times you could just look at their existing processes and they've got all kind of money on the floor.
Now with all the things you're saying, sounds awesome. Would you recommend bringing on, and it is a subjective, bringing on someone to do this as a full-time job, having a consultant, getting trained, finding someone who kind of seems like they might like this stuff and training them? What is the way to solve this? Because it sounds like a lot of companies have holes in their business in automation. Like what should they do?
Yeah, they do. And I recommend it's best solved from the inside. Okay. You know, and the reason being, Josh, is because to see the opportunities and quickly take advantage of them requires two things. It requires intimacy. So you've got to be intimate with the business. You have to know why the CEO is saying do this. You have to see what he's not seeing, he or she is not seeing. And you can't do that from the outside. There's only a level of success that you can get. So once you're in it, I call it, you know, injecting the blood of the business in your veins. You know, you think this stuff, it's always on your mind, right? You've got total buy-in. You're seeing opportunities. The next from intimacy is intelligence, right? So you have to know how to take advantage of it. One thing is to see it. The next is to, how do I act on that? Intelligent. How do I do it in a way that produces an immediate result? The immediate result doesn't always have to be money, but it should always be positive, right? So how do I do that? That intellect comes from mentoring, right? Having the right person training and showing that person in your business exactly how to do it, because they're going to do it specific to your business. You're going to get a system built specific to your business, an automated system specifically for your business. And it can only be done from the outside. There are times I've seen people outsource it, but it's like with any cookie cutter approach, you get an initial lift and then you taper off. You know, you don't continue that exponential growth pattern.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Now I wasn't going to ask you about this, but I'm going to do it because I think our audience will like it. So, tools, because you work a lot of tools. Are there like the top three or five tools you think everyone should at least be aware of or be looking at if they don't have any tool sets right now?
You know, every company needs what I call a marketing layer for one. This is a layer of technology that your tools sit on that does not require your website for it to function. Okay. And this is a different, follow me, everybody. I know you're just like, what? What was that? Where do I buy that? No, you create this, and it's figuratively in a way. But if you ever have tried to implement marketing, landing pages, whatever, on your website, there is a web developer who is more concerned about code than leads. So a lot of times you get a lot of dissension. There's a lot of headbutting because you're like, I need this page to do this. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Well, I need to create it, and it needs to be this. And they break every conversion rule because they're catering to code instead of conversions. Mm-hmm. So I like to put a marketing layer, and what it looks like is either a subdomain or a subdirectory. So workthesystem.com, maybe it's go.workthesystem.com. And on that domain, guess what? It matches the brand, but I don't have to deal with a web developer if I want to put a landing page up, right? It's the marketer's playground. They can do whatever they want to. And then you have software for pop-ups on the website. So now all I have to do is give my web developer a link. Don't do anything else. Just put this link on that button. And then it triggers a pop-up. When that lead comes in, it comes into my system all the way over here. Don't worry about it over there on the website. You keep on developing and loving your code. And now I've got this free flowing marketing experience, right? Mm. So some of the tools, again, you want a landing page tool. Right? I can't operate a business without landing pages. And here's what's interesting, Josh. I used to work at Lead Pages, built out that entire marketing system. We raised funding, $37 million, everything. I loved it. I love the platform. No knock against my people still at Lead Pages. But at that time, landing page technology had not evolved like it is now. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of success with WordPress-based page builders. Mm-hmm. WordPress-based page builders. Elementor is one that a lot of my marketing friends, including myself, are getting really good results from. But putting it in that WordPress ecosystem, there's so many benefits to it. So anyways, but if you're like, no, I hate WordPress, you got to update plugins, this, and that, one, I say you're probably using the wrong theme and don't know what you're doing. Two is there's other alternatives. A lot of people like ClickFunnels. I have nothing against ClickFunnels. I just don't like how they capture data. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to be able to capture more than first name and email. Give me that ability, right? Yeah. Lead Pages is still out there, slower development. You know, then you've got InstaPage that's more for marketing teams. So just now I just have convoluted the whole conversation of landing page technology, right? It's like, well, which one, Chris? I don't know which one specific for your business, but you need landing page software and you need a CRM that can send emails, right? Mm-hmm. I recommend a marketing automation CRM. Okay. So for small businesses, you only have four options. These are the four options that you have, Josh. Listen, everybody, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You have you have Infusionsoft, Entreport, HubSpot, and ActiveCampaign. Those are the four options for small businesses who want to run a CRM with automation built in. There are no other alternatives. Don't let the GetResponses, the MailChimps, and all of those email automation platforms pose as marketing automation platforms with the CRM. Okay? That's going to save you all some money there. And then lastly, you need some form of payment system online. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're selling multiple products, you're going to need some e-commerce type, you know, where there's a cart involved. If you're selling services, you need a single checkout experience. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if you're in a more proprietary situation where you're like an attorney or something like that, you're probably going to have that custom developed because the information is sensitive. Uh-huh. So those systems, one that I love for services is called ThriveCart, really solid. A lot of people use Moonray, MoonClerk. I say Moonray, that's old Office Autopilot stuff. MoonClerk is one that I've seen a lot of people use. And then there's a plethora of other ones. And then for like a cart, Shopify has really been just on the rise. It feels like it's becoming the standard. If you're doing e-commerce, and then they also have a nice automation supplement called Klaviyo, which allows you to do some automated email based on the purchases and experience in there. So those are just think of all these tools that I just threw out Josh, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because I know many people on here have known, you go and type in landing page software, it's pages. So how do you sort through all of that? So that's one of the things that I specialize, because I play with these tools every day, all day. It's like, you know, my little fun time. So
what about tools where you have, maybe you have something in your CRM system, and then you have something in your order form, and you have something in a client record, you're trying to connect them all together. Do you use various Google products, or do you link them together with some kind of automation software, or a Zapier or something like that?
Yeah. Zapier is like the digital marketers super glue.
Yes.
Whenever things don't talk or stick, it's like, oh, let me go get my Zapier. And you know, you pull it out, it's this old dirty tube that's been used time and time again. It just works, right? And then I love Google Sheets for like data processing. So sometimes it's as simple as when a row is added to a sheet, that could trigger that information being sent to another another platform. And since everybody can pretty much use a spreadsheet, it works really well to kind of help people who are more manual. You say, hey, whenever somebody does this, put their name and email right here, and they do it, and then it triggers automation somewhere else, and they feel great. They're like, I did it. Did it work over there? You know, they're sitting right next to them. I got it. Thanks. Just keep putting them in the spreadsheet. You know, if it's more heavy, I'm doing the spreadsheet. I've got data coming into a spreadsheet. I've got formulas running, right? Yeah. Filters. And then when it populates to another sheet, it's sending out to another platform. So those are the two primary tools that I'll use as my super glue.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah, well, very good. I'm sure we can talk about this all day.
All day.
Maybe we will after hours, because I got a lot more questions. But it sounds like you've been in this world for a long time and have the experience. And it's kind of a new world. I mean, I don't think this world existed a couple of decades ago.
You're correct.
Very cutting edge stuff. So one question I'd like to ask everybody before they leave is about systems. So tell us a story about a system or an automation you put into either your own business or someone else's business, just so we can kind of get a context of that.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. So the ones I've grown to love are the simple ones.
Okay.
Right. And the simple ones for me are like routers, or like they perform this simple function. So I'll tell you about one that I call my MUFU. It's my MUFU, and it's called the master follow-up. And what this automation does, every business should have a MUFU, is what it does is, you know, you could have multiple entry points into your business at times, especially as your marketing matures, you're probably gonna have more than one offer or whatnot. So when somebody comes in, they could be on a different path, or based on their actions and decision can branch off. So what the MUFU does is it centralizes those paths into one. And then it sends you down one singular path to let you know what to expect going forward. So it prepares you for like maybe weekly newsletters, monthly newsletters or whatnot. The MUFU is only there if they haven't converted in their initial flow. Okay. So again, it centralizes, but the good thing about the MUFU is it goes and checks and sees it holds you. It waits until you're done with any other sequence, because that's where the sale is taking place, right? Right when they opt in, you're putting the best content in front of them. So the MUFU doesn't want to start sending them just ongoing content if they're already in a process where they can convert. So it's just waiting and it's checking. Hey, are you in a process yet? Yep, still are. Okay, wait. And the minute they're done with all the process, it says, okay, you've gone through all the process, you didn't buy here. And then they go through and they get the long-term nurture, for lack of a better term, to stay on top of mind. That's probably my favorite one that I've done for businesses and I use personally. And then other ones are like counters and timestamps and little utility automations that provide you the information to always be in a position to execute in intelligence, right? Execute intelligently. So some of my counters are, you know, days until they've done something, you know, other of my counters are, okay, do we have time? Let me share one more, Josh. I've got all of my follow-up systems now are Netflix enabled, I call it binge worthy. So what it does is it's, you know, the days of the drip were like send email, wait a day, send next email, wait a day. Netflix has clearly shown that people want that button at the bottom that says next episode now, right? So I put this in my follow-up and saw an immediate response, because when people want your information, they want your information. Who are you? Who are you to withhold such information from them in an automated way? So what I like to do is I'll have my automations wait and listen for when they've clicked the link in email one, and it'll automatically send email two. But it won't send email two until they click the link. So now it's this move at your own pace. So some people can go through my whole series in less than an hour. Other people, it may take them a week, but they get to move at their own pace and they think I'm doing it. You're like, thanks. Sorry, it's taking me a week, Chris. I get these emails. They're like, sorry, it's taking me a week. Thank you for sending it. I thought that you forgot about me. And I'm like, nope, always thinking about you. Glad you got the email. So it just shows you how you can be personal. You can really personalize the journey. And I guess with everything, that's what it is. Automation is not elimination of the human element. It's enhancement. You get it? You know, like you're already automating what you do, and then it's providing you an opportunity to engage at a higher level. So there's never a 100% automated process. It's always a level of human interaction. What that mix is truly up to you and your business.
That's very cool. I'd heard of the Netflixing concept, but I hadn't thought of it in terms of emails that auto.
Yeah.
That's a new one for me. That's pretty cool. I'm glad I got a new nugget there.
Yeah. Well,
Chris, this has been fun. What's a question I didn't ask you, but I should have asked you about?
What do I spend most of my time doing when I'm not looking at my computer screen automating?
Sure. What could that be?
So Josh, if we would have interviewed last week, I'd have told you either playing basketball or my son has me on this Xbox game called Paladins. Don't ask me what it is. He just got me playing it. Right.
Yeah.
As of this week, I am now an official longboarder.
Really?
It's like a skateboard 2.0. The wheels are bigger. You don't fall off of it by rolling over a rock. Like all of the things as a child, I wish my skateboard did, these longboards do. So I'm like, I think I'm a longboarder. I think I need like some gear and everything. So.
Wow. Well, I was not expecting that. What's funny is my wife and I were just talking about getting longboards for our three boys, maybe for Christmas. So that's
they'll love it, man. Yeah. Yep, they'll love it.
Cool. Well, very cool. Well, Chris, this has been a lot of fun. Where can people find out more about you, your automation, your training, your certification, all the stuff you have going on? Where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to Automation Bridge. I prepared a special link for everybody on this podcast. If you go to automationbridge.com/WTS for work the system, what you can do is I've got a free course that you can download, and you can participate in the binge experience yourself. Click a link and you'll see the next email will come. Wait a week. Click a link and you'll see it'll be automatically delivered. But it does, what it does is it just gives you the foundation of how to get started with follow-up marketing.
Cool. Well, very good. All right, Chris, this is fun. Enjoy your Friday night, longboarding. And thanks everybody for joining us live here on Facebook if you're watching it,
yes,
or
appreciate it.
iTunes or wherever you're watching this. And stay tuned next week. Every Friday, we try to have some shows that are live. Otherwise, you can catch us on any podcast player. And if you want a free copy of that book right there behind me, Work the System, leave us a review. We pull one name out of a hat a week, and we mail out a copy directly to you for free. Or you can download it for free at workthesystem.com. Otherwise, thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next episode.